The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, from time to time, I have the very good fortune of not having anything to talk about. Isn't that, ain't I lucky? May you all have that good fortune sometimes. And it's nice not to have anything to talk about and nothing on my mind. And I mean, maybe not nice for you that I have nothing to talk about. Some of you are expecting to hear a talk now. But here we are. So one solution is if you have a question you'd like to ask. We have probably time for two or three questions, and I'll try to respond. And if there are no questions, then that's good fortune too. So maybe we can have the mic, in the back by the back wall.
Okay. This is the first time that I've meditated sat. I've sat for so long, I think ever. An hour and a half or something, and it hurt. So I'm kind of curious what people do when it starts to hurt.
So you sat for how long?
Since about 10:20.
So 10:20. Without getting up to move?
Yep.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Well, there were people walking around, there were people sitting when I arrived. And I sat, and then people came in, and the rest of them came in, and they continued to sit. Nobody said anything, so I thought, well, that's what we're supposed to do, just meditate.
So you've been
doing my best at that.
For an hour and a half.
And, at least.
It's a bit long for someone who doesn't, you're meditating for a while, but...
45 minutes.
Yeah, generally I recommend that people don't meditate more than 45 minutes at a time, unless they're getting concentrated and settled, and there's a feeling of momentum, and it becomes kind of easy to continue. I'm really kind of cooking here, it's going well, I'm engaged, my mindfulness is clear. It just feels like kind of there's momentum here to keep doing it. Then it's sitting more than 45 minutes is nice. But after 45 minutes, if it's a chore, if it's like, the body's hurting, I have to work with it, and generally, especially in daily life circumstances, I don't think there's much usefulness in that. I think that it's better to stand and do walking meditation. And here at IMC, you can always, you never have to stay sitting. You always have the option. We have this wonderful floor out there. You're welcome to get up during the sitting and just go quietly as you can, do walking meditation if you need to. Break up the... So that's my recommendation. There are some advantages of sitting that long, and one of the advantages is to become wise about how you can be with discomfort. Discomfort is a great teacher. We learn how we get restless, reactive, afraid. We learn about, our agitation that comes up around it, why we get agitated, how we get agitated. We can learn how to be with discomfort in a relaxed way, in a equanimous way, and learn to be comfortable with discomfort. And he's a great teacher. But generally, I think that's good up until the 45-minute mark. And beyond that, I wouldn't use that teacher intentionally. Is that answer sufficient, or is that...
That's wonderful. I don't usually get a chance to come here and spend so much time, and I knew I'd learned something today.
You learned not to sit so much. Great. Someone else? Here in the front.
So yesterday... a lawyer friend of mine told me that you can get an app on your phone that'll tell you if you're meditating right. I don't know, like you connect it or something and it'll tell you like if your mind is wandering. So I just thought you might know something about that. Is this a good idea? Should I be like really trying to hone my skills?
Yeah. Yeah, there are apps now, and apps where you put things on your head, and they're measuring brain waves, and it gives it biofeedback system that helps you get into the kind of brain waves that are sometimes associated with meditation. It's easier to stay focused and concentrated. And I think there's certainly a role for those things. For some people, it's a quicker way to get relaxed and de-stress, to get into a nice space. And for people who don't have easy access to, you know, to being somewhat relaxed or de-stressed, maybe it has a useful, get a sense of it. People have never had that experience. It has a place, and, you know, to do it for a while. I little bit think of it as doing meditation with training wheels. So sometimes training wheels are useful. However, I'm not that enthusiastic about this, and the reason for this is that there's a lot of things you can do to get concentrated quickly and really be present, 100% present. Your mind's not going to wander whatsoever. You're there. You can climb El Capitan, you know. You can jump out of that plane with a parachute. There's all kinds of things, dramatic things you can do when you're suddenly there. And there are interpersonal, you know, diet kind of exercises that workshops will teach to get people very quickly, within minutes, so zeroed in and present and engaged. You can take drugs to do that. There's all kinds of things you can do. But what we're trying to do here with meditation is to have generally kind of an ordinary mind, how we normally are, without any training wheels, without any drugs or exercises that are going to zoom us into some altered state quickly, so that we can really take stock of who we are, what's going on. So we can really become wise about how our mind works, what our tendencies are, what our conditioning is, how our greed, hate, and delusion works. And then knowing that, to work with that, work through it, and to get to the other side through wisdom and understanding and developing the inner skills that are needed, not to bypass it, not to kind of go around it or ignore it in order to get into a good state. So some people who people benefit many different ways from meditation. But there are some people for whom their meditation goes really, really slow. And there's a lot of self-learning, a lot of meeting all their neurosis and all their challenges. And those people, they stick to it over a long time. Sometimes are the people who are most transformed. Sometimes the people who have the ability, for whatever reason, to just drop straight down into very deep states of concentration, do it as a way without really seeing the full dimensions of who they are as a human being. So I'm not so enthusiastic about these apps myself. But, you know, it's, you know, for people living busy and stressed lives, and some of these apps have 10-minute meditations they guide you through, and you know, if your life is really stressed and busy, and, you know, with work and everything, it might be better than the alternative. It might be better from not doing it, you know, to have those 10 minutes, a little break. But I think that it's not going to take a person as far in this practice as what, you know, it's designed to do. It's more like a little bit of medicine or balm or a little bit of relief, or, you know, rather than something deeply transformative. We don't want to avoid who we are. We want to be who we are and find our way through the practice through that, to the other side. Okay, well, I still don't have anything to say. But now it's time to stop.